This story is from when I started my first job as a barista. I started working at this little coffee shop in downtown when I was 18, and my time there taught me a lot about boundaries, especially with customers. After a few months, I started to get to know the regulars. The audience was primarily older men who used to work very important jobs in the state, so they never really worried me much due to their mostly professional attitudes. During my night shifts, two men in their 60s would stroll in and have light conversation with my fellow baristas and I. It seemed harmless. I even got to know them a bit better. Now, for my own safety, I'll call them by fake names, Dan and Greg. Greg was a bit of a wreck. He'd always make comments about his ex-wife, and they were always very sad, mostly regarding his feelings that still remained for her. He's not important to the story, but he never came alone until this happened. Dan, on the other hand, never talked about his family. I only knew he was a professor in a different part of the state and that he really loved music. Me being a musician and a teacher, I connected with Dan on the spot. We'd talk about our favorite bands, and he would usually recall going to concerts of some of my idols. I was eager for more information, so I let loose, and our conversations became sort of a weekly ritual. At one point, Dan invited himself and my other musically inclined coworker to dinner. I figured it would be safe because, one, my coworker was much older than me, and two, I wasn't alone. The night went by, and I had a good time just listening to the two of them argue over pianos and sound equipment. I didn't partake in much of their banter, but still basked in their conversation. At this time, I was in a very dark place. My father and I were fighting religiously. I found out my mom was cheating, and I was barely making it through beauty school. I didn't realize how naive I was being, telling Dan about my personal life. We had reached a point when I actually considered him a friend. Plus, I was missing my dad, and I just needed some consolation. After a few months, my dad and I's relationship improved, and I started being in a better mental headspace. With that, I stopped confiding in Dan because I just stopped thinking about my issues. He would occasionally bring it up, and I would casually tell him that all was well. Things took a turn when I received a load of text messages from him, more than the usual YouTube links to cool new bands. It would say something along the lines of, "Hey kid, we should meet up and go over your future. I want to help you get out of your house." Now, this tone was not new for Dan. He knew I struggled with money and how badly I wanted to be independent. But it was unusual for him to suggest going out alone with me. I took some time to think of a response, to which he responded, "Hello, is anyone there?" I was starting to get a little bit annoyed. My boyfriend didn't text me nearly as much as this old guy. I ended up telling him I was too busy with school and thanked him for the offer, to which he said, "What? Is your dad not letting you go out again?" I remember how fast my heart leapt into my throat. Why the fuck would he say something like that? Was this his idea of humor? I ignored him and confided in my coworker about the conversation. He agreed that Dan was being pushy and rude and suggested that I drop him. I did feel guilty, even though I was hurt. Dan really helped me for a bit. Dan lived in the building directly across from the coffee shop. If you stood by the window, he would be able to see you out of his. One shift, I decided to go grab some food for my coworker and I, so I stepped out to pick it up. My phone rang, and it was the shop. My coworker frantically told me that Dan was at the coffee shop, interrogating my coworker about me and where I was. I got spooked and told him that I would hide in the back for a bit until Dan gives up. 20 minutes later, he did. I cried and ran to my coworker, who was starting to get defensive over me. I could tell he was just as scared as I was. I calmed down after an hour or so, so I started joking around saying that I would go out in disguise so that Dan doesn't see me. We laughed. I went outside to stack the patio. Not even a minute after I finished, Dan was on my tail, headed into the shop. I froze. My coworker glared from behind the counter. I quickly ran beside him, Dan greeting me as I rushed to my coworker's side. Dan proceeds to make jokes about my dad and about me not wanting to be around him. I responded as short as I could without revealing how terrified I actually was that he was waiting for me to let my guard down. Eventually, Dan got the hint that I wasn't going to talk to him beyond polite small talk. So he stormed out of the shop. On my walk back to the car, my coworker helped me word a lengthy explanation of my feelings, along with a stern goodbye. I asked Dan to delete my number and not to talk to me outside of work, but this pissed him off. He sent long paragraphs back about how in another life we could have been together, and I'm so smart and talented. If only I were his age. I blocked him. Dan stayed clear of the coffee shop. And shortly after our issue, I decided to move to another part of the city and get a different job. I still visit the shop once in a while, and all my coworkers who knew Dan say that he hasn't been back since the night that he stalked me. Dan, if you still live in town and you see me around, back off. Let's never meet again. When I was young, from birth until about 12 years old, and before my mother's meth addiction was apparent to my sister and I, my mother was known as the person who always had room for somebody to stay in our home. She never wanted anyone to go without a roof over their head, never wanted anyone to go hungry. Even if she had hardly known the person, as long as they were known by one of her close friends, she would do her best to lend a helping hand. After this incident, it came to a stop. When I was 12 and my sister was around 10, we moved from our small hometown to a bustling college town about 30 to 45 minutes from where we grew up. Being in a bigger city than we were used to, we had no real concept of stranger danger, as we had never been in a situation to teach us about the dangers of creepy adult men and how to avoid them. Of course, we always received the "don't go into cars with strangers" talk, but it was never a lesson that really needed to be put into practice. We hadn't been in our new house a year before my mom brought in a live-in nanny and her boyfriend to stay with us and take care of things while my mom and whatever douchebag man she was sleeping with at the time went to work. The new housemates were excellent. We'll call the woman Mandy and her boyfriend Jason. Now, Mandy and Jason were close enough with my sister and I that we eventually gave them titles of Aunt Mandy and Uncle Jason. Uncle Jason had a buddy that was in need of a place to stay, as he had recently been evicted from his old place. My mother, being the kind-hearted and drugged-out woman she was, allowed this complete stranger to our family a place to sleep on our couch and a place to eat at our dinner table. We'll call this man Tom. I wish now my mother would have been colder towards Tom. A couple of weeks after Tom moved in, my sister and I both agreed that Tom was more than a little creepy. He was maybe in his late 30s. While my sister and I weren't even teenagers yet. He would constantly try to start tickle fights with my 10-year-old sister, especially when he thought no adults were around. With me, he would comment about how my shoulders seemed really tense and asked if I wanted him to massage them. I was in a plethora of after-school activities at this point in my life, 3 different band-related activities, and an academic-focused activity. Most nights, I wouldn't even be home from school until about 5 or 6 p.m. So the tenseness in my shoulders was very real. I would never let him know that, though. Being only 12 years old, I didn't know what it was about this guy. But it made me feel sick to my stomach when I had to be alone with him. One day I was eating some lunch at the kitchen table when creepy Tom came in and sat down across from me. He tried to strike up a conversation, but I was only half paying attention as I was wrapped up in lunch and texting my boyfriend. Tom made a comment, something along the lines of, "You must drive all the boys crazy with breasts like that." I didn't know what to say. I was only 12, and no one had ever said anything to me like that, let alone a full-blown adult. I tried to ignore him as best as I could while he made more and more unsettling comments about my body. I'm not a really big girl, more mid-sized. I have been all my life. And he was making comments about these parts of my body. I was at this point extremely uncomfortable, so I finished what was left of my lunch and said, "I think I'm going to take a nap. I feel really sick today." Then I made my way to my bedroom and didn't come out until my mother came home from her day at work. Another instance when I was alone with Tom was during a holiday. I think spring break. So I was home alone with Tom, while my mother and her most recent male companion were out working, and my younger sister was away with her dad for the week. Tom asked if I was hungry and wanted to go with him for some Subway. I loved Subway, and being a lazy preteen, I took advantage of not having to make anything for myself to eat that afternoon. We climbed into his car, a beat-up old Pontiac Sunfire, and headed for our lunch destination. On the way there, he asked me different icebreaker-type questions like, "What kind of music do you listen to?" And when I answered with some typical 12-year-old response like One Direction or Justin Bieber, he was surprised. "You mean you don't like Nine Inch Nails?" he asked. I replied that I had never heard of them, which was a lie. I was hoping that it would shut him up. He fiddled with his stereo until a song came on. All I remember is thinking that I can't even make out what they were saying, but he gushed about how much he loved the band and thought that I would enjoy them too because it was the same kind of music my mom listened to. Nothing too out of place, but he still had this weird vibe about him back then. I just couldn't place it. But looking back now, 20 years old, I get sick knowing that it was a sad attempt at flirting with me, a then 12-year-old girl. A few smaller instances occurred leading up to Tom's grand finale. One time he came into my room early in the morning as I was finishing getting ready for school, sat on my bed and started talking to me. At this point, I was in full-blown bitch mode and tried to make it clear that I wasn't interested in conversation by giving short replies or by completely ignoring him in general. I picked up my backpack and started to walk out of my bedroom door when he started actually pouting and said, "Where are you going?" As if it wasn't obvious to him that I had to go to school. I just said "school" in the flattest tone of voice that I could muster and walked straight out without giving him a second glance. On a separate occasion, I was laying in bed with the door open just trying to relax after another one of my long days. Tom came in and laid on the bed next to me. He asked how my day was, not really raising any alarm bells yet. I was wearing a necklace with a particularly heavy pendant. It contained my grandfather's ashes, so the weight of it caused the pendant to slide off to one side of my chest and hang crooked from the chain. Tom, being the creep he was, picked up the pendant and placed it firmly on top of me. I was mortified. I didn't know what to do. He started talking about how beautiful and sexy I was and how my boyfriend was so lucky to have me. I can't remember how long Tom was in my room or what else he may have said or done, but when he finally left, I shut my door behind him and threw on my headphones and tried my best to forget the entire interaction. Come to the start of the school year, nothing major had happened for a bit. He was still extremely creepy, but he didn't say or do anything newer or creepier than he had before. My sister and I were, unfortunately, already used to his antics. One night, during fall break, I was staying up late in the living room alone, watching some TV on the couch when Tom emerged from a darkened hallway. I assumed from the bathroom. He grabbed his coat and car keys. "Where are you headed at this time?" I asked. He told me he was going to meet up with his girlfriend and to have a good night. Then he walked out the front door. I haven't seen Tom since. Because a couple of days after that, my mom sat my sister and I down and told us that Tom wasn't coming back. He had been caught and arrested for meeting up with the 14-year-old girl that he had met online and tried to do God knows what with her. My mom said that he was going to be in jail for a very long time and how we wouldn't ever have to worry about him again. To this day, it baffles me how she didn't sense something was wrong about this guy, even in her drug-addicted brain. My Uncle Jason apologized profusely, to the point of tears, and had to beg my mom not to kick his ass to the curb. Uncle Jason stayed with us, along with Aunt Mandy, for a few more months, until they moved away and their room was filled by a new live-in nanny. To this day, the thought of Tom still haunts me, but I constantly feel better knowing that he's probably getting his ass kicked by fellow inmates in prison for being a child predator. Creepy Tom, I hope we never meet again. Even now that I'm 20 years old, I doubt I'm your type. I hope you rot. I have two stories to share with you. Story number one. I was a senior in high school, and a lot of my friends made some really questionable decisions, myself included. I had been talking to this guy on and off for a few years, nothing serious. We would say hi to each other in the hallways and text each other occasionally, where it would always end in me being asked over. I was never really comfortable with it until my senior year. He had graduated the year before and went to the college that was basically down the street from my high school. He had roommates and said that there would be a few other people over if I wanted to hang out. I decided that that was safe enough and told my mom that I was going to hang out with a friend and texted my actual friends that I was going over to his house. We'll call him Henry. I drove over to Henry's house, and there were about two other cars parked on the street close to his house. I texted him and said that I was there. He came and let me in. There were two other girls on the couch. They were both older than me. I assumed they were his college friends. His mantle was littered with bottles of alcohol. It was dark inside, even though it was only about 6 p.m. A few minutes of small talk pass, and the other girls get up and leave, leaving me alone with Henry. He asked if I smoked, and I said that it had been a while, not wanting to seem uncool. He led me to his garage, where we hit his bong. I'd never done this before, and he had to teach me how. I said something about how the weed was burning, and I was scared that I had messed it up. He said that it was supposed to happen. He pressured me into taking more hits than I was comfortable with, though. I went along with it, since he was older and, I guess, knew more than I did. A few minutes later, he got up and started walking back inside, so I followed him. We went past the living room and down the hall to the last door on the right. It was his room. He walked over to his computer and started talking about music and put something on. I was still standing in the doorway. He asked if I wanted to sit down on his bed. At this point, the weed started to kick in and I could feel myself getting too high too quickly. He walked over and started pushing the door closed. I started to panic. I'm an avid true crime listener, and I knew that if I felt unsafe, that I needed to get out. I pushed past him and pulled the bedroom door open and basically ran down the hall to the front door. I heard him call after me and ask what I was doing, but I drove off. By this time, I was high out of my mind and drove the 10 minutes home feeling like I was going in and out of consciousness. I busted into my house and went straight to my room so that my mom wouldn't see how messed up I was. She followed me into my room, and I was so scared that she would be mad. But she wasn't. She was just glad that I trusted myself and left when I did. I found out a few years later, Henry was kicked out of his flat for multiple sexual assault allegations, and that he had a reputation even in high school. I'm so glad that I left when I did, because I knew then that if I had let him close the door, I would have been on that list of girls he got way too high and took advantage of. I was at my friend's house a year later, and they told me that Henry might be coming later. I made up an excuse and left. I never talked to those friends again. And to the guy who got kicked out of his frat for sexually assaulting multiple girls, let's never meet again. Now, on to story number two. For privacy reasons, I can't give too many details, but this happened to me last year. I started college in 2019. I go to a big state school, and a few people I knew from high school go there too. But I wasn't very close to them. So I decided to download Tinder and meet some new people, maybe start having some fun in the process. It was orientation week, and I had been talking to this guy for a few days. The school was putting on a movie night out in front of our student union, and my high school friend invited me. I asked if it would be okay if I invited this guy that I was talking to come watch the movie, so that I could meet him in a public setting and decide what to do from there. She said yes, and I invited him. He came and watched the movie, and everything was going really well, so I invited him back to my dorm, and he stayed the night. I quickly started seeing him more, and I spent more time at his apartment than I did at my own dorm. I'd walk the mile to his place almost every night, and we'd start to get really close. He started displaying red flags, but I ignored them. He would talk about his ex and would pressure me into getting too high and then would convince me to fool around with him on his couch. I didn't realize how bad that was at the time, and it took me a few months to realize that he wasn't a good person. We would argue a lot, and there would be many times that I'd be yelling at him over the phone because he would get jealous of everyone that I hung out with. I'm bi, and I felt that he was threatened by both male and female friends that I had and didn't want me to see them anymore. He thought I would cheat on him. It's crazy because he wouldn't commit to me, so we were never actually dating. He'd tell me that I'd say things that I never remembered saying and get mad when I called him out on lying to me. It took a few months for me to realize that I was being gaslit and emotionally abused and sexually assaulted by him because I would dismiss that as a possibility because I thought I was smarter than that. I worked up the courage to tell him that we needed to stop talking and that I wouldn't be coming over anymore. This is when things got crazy. Crazier than it had already been. He started showing up at my job. He would text me, tell me how sorry he was. When I blocked his number, he started DMing me on Instagram, telling me he would kill himself if I didn't take him back. He took pictures of a car that looked just like mine and asked if I had come to talk and that he missed me and said he was sorry. I told him to fuck off, and it made him even madder. He started talking about how since I had hurt him so much that he was going to hurt himself. I was terrified that I was going to be the reason that he killed himself. He started tweeting about how he was going to do it, how he was going to kill himself, and about how much he missed me. I called the school and asked them to perform a wellness check on him. The school told me to block him on everything, so I did. Once he was blocked on my socials and on my phone, he started contacting my friends, begging them to let him talk to me. He told them the same bullshit about how he was sorry and that I made him hurt himself. He messaged me through an astrology app called CoStar once I blocked him on everything else, and he was just that desperate. I told all of my friends to screenshot what he was saying to them and send me pictures. I screenshot every threat he sent to me and compiled a folder of evidence. This was weeks of messages, threats, and empty apologies that he sent to me and everyone I was close to. I went to the dean and presented my evidence. They took my statements and my friend's statements and started a case. It took many meetings and phone calls and months of waiting until I was finally granted a no-contact order. For those of you who don't know what this is, it's basically a school restraining order. If he tried to talk to me or any of my friends again, he would be suspended. And if he kept trying after that, he would be expelled. He was blocked from all school functions and wasn't allowed to walk at his graduation. I was reading through my case the day it was approved, and I found out that even after he had admitted to saying all of these things to me, he went back to the dean and tried to say that I was lying. He tried to make me sound like the crazy one, even after all of the proof that I had provided to the school. I was terrified that he would find me. He knew where I lived, where I worked, what car I drove, and where my mom's house was. I lived in fear for months, and I'm still scared that he'll find me today. A few months after we were sent home because of COVID, I was going through who followed me on Spotify, and I saw his account, so I clicked on it. There was a playlist of all of my music that I listened to, and I know that he didn't like. I thought that maybe he was adding music to it while I was listening. I tested this theory out, and I would play specific songs that I knew he didn't like, and he would add them onto the playlist while they were playing on my account. He was still watching me months later. I occasionally check his Twitter to see if he's keeping tabs on me. He is. He likes my mutuals tweets, and he only likes pictures of girls that look just like me. He changed his political views to match mine, his music taste to match mine, and his style into what I find attractive. He started playing guitar and has a video of him playing my favorite song. I still live in the same town and go to the same school. He graduated at the end of last semester, and the no-contact order has expired since he's no longer a student. I'm still scared of him, but I've changed my hair. I have a new job. I live in a different place. I drive a new car. I haven't seen him since, but I know that he's still there keeping tabs on me over a year later. My mom told me later that year that he even found her on Facebook and pleaded with her to talk to me. The playlist full of my music is now at 200 hours and continues to grow. And he's getting closer to the people who are friends with my friends. I'm scared he's going to find me. I don't have enough evidence to get a real restraining order since he hasn't done anything to me physically, and I'm nervous that he never moved out of this town after he graduated. I don't know if he decided to stay, but one of my friends who checks on his Twitter so that I don't have to told me that he was looking to stay in town. I have a new boyfriend now. He's scared for me too. He gave me a knife just in case the crazy guy ever tries to find me, and told me that if anything ever does happen, that he'll be there as soon as I let him know. I'm hoping that I never have to tell my boyfriend that he's found me, and to the guy who was obsessed with me, I hope that you never treat another girl the way that you treated me, and I hope we never meet again. Thanks for listening to this week's ad-free extended version of Let's Not Meet, and thanks for all of the positive feedback about Odd Trails. I do have a favor to ask all of you that enjoyed the show. If you plan on continuing to listen and subscribe, if the app or platform that you listen to podcasts on allows you to rate and review shows, if you feel inclined, please give us a rating and tell everyone what you thought of the show, even if you just copy and paste what you put here on the Patreon. And, you know, I'm not asking for positive reviews. By all means, please be honest. But it does make a huge difference for new podcasts out there when you get those ratings and reviews in early, more than you'd think. And if you really, really want to help us out, just give that first episode a re-listen on that app that you listen to podcasts on, because every download counts. It really means a lot to us. Even if you just have it on in the background while you're cleaning out your car or mowing the lawn or any of those other chores that I'm listing that I've been putting off and need to do. Jesus, what's happening to me? All right, I'm done babbling and pleading. I just want you all to know how much we appreciate you. Oh yeah, and thank you for listening. This week you have heard My First Stalker by Kelsey, Creepy Adult Housemate by Nikki, and finally, two stories by a listener that asked to remain anonymous. All the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a True Horror Podcast, is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. Remember, send me your stories to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com if you want to hear them on the show. And if you have any stories you want to hear on Odd Trails, send them to stories@oddtrails.com. Do I have anything else? I felt like I had something else. My brain is a scattered mess right now. We hosted Thanksgiving for the first... Well, it was the first holiday we've ever hosted, and it will be the last. I did not enjoy it at all. And then we had house guests for a week, so I'm a bit behind on some of my work. If you haven't received your stickers and you joined in the last couple of weeks, I will be sending those all out tomorrow. I have a huge list to get through, but I stocked up on printer paper and stickers and envelopes and everything, so they should be going out all tomorrow morning. Thanks for your patience, and thanks for all of your support here on Patreon. I'm gonna shut up and let you guys get back to your life. Have a good one, and be safe.